right. Tonight, one of our brothers that come through the Holland Heights School of Preaching here in Houston, Texas, at our congregation, and we're so thankful, Brother Thomas Kirby, we're going to talk about time to wake out of your sleep about being without Christ. All right, Brother Kirby, it's your time.
Thank you. It's once more and again an honor to be able to espouse the things that I believe with those I love, to stand before an audience, or in this case, I'm sitting before an audience, and be able to share those things that I believe down in my soul, the things that I can read about in my Bible, the things that you can read about in your Bible. I've been tasked this evening with speaking on the subject of being without Christ. Some of the people who may be on this call already know me. Y'all know I only have one good sermon, and that's the same as the Apostle Paul. When his life depended on it, he only had one thing that he could say. He could talk about what happened to him out on that Damascus road and how he was brought to his knees, and he was encouraged to be baptized and then to go on and share those things which had happened to him. In my case, I can only share what I've read and what I believe. And that is how Christ died on the cross, according to the scriptures, and was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That proved that he was the Son of God. No other man has done it. No other man will do it. Only the Son of God has done it. That's what you need to hear in order to be saved. Once you've heard that, believed it, made your confession, baptized in water for the remission of your sins, then the Lord will add you to the church, the one and only church you can read about in this Bible, the Church of Christ. As I thought about bringing this message, I felt so significantly inadequate because I cannot fathom a moment in my life where I was without Christ. I obeyed the gospel at 6 years old. They were willing to baptize me at such a young age because I had learned to read at four. So I knew from whence I spake. I was brought to the front of the church, and I was asked to answer questions related to my salvation, and I was able to do that. And from that moment, I've been covered in the blood of Christ. And what I want to share with you is what that has meant to me and what it can mean in your life as well. As we approach this topic, we want to do it keeping in mind Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, and it reads, "And that, knowing the time." In other words, be mindful of where we are today, right now, is what he's saying to the Roman church. And he says that now is high time. It's not going to get any closer. It's not going to get, we don't need to wait any longer. Now is high time that we awake out of our sleep. What does that mean, Brother Kirby? Awake out of our sleep. It means that we have to recognize that when we are going through trials and tribulations in our lives, and we all will, and we all do, when we're going through those trials and tribulations in our lives, we can't do it by ourselves. When we think about the fact that somewhere over several million people lost their jobs over the last year, putting them in financial crisis, people that have been productive members of society for their entire lives are now having to go to food pantries and soup kitchens in order to be able to provide for their family. When you think about people that couldn't handle that and committed suicide, people that couldn't handle that and they turned to drugs and alcohol, when you think about those things, Imagine how much worse they are made by not having Christ in your life. When you think about you've spent every nickel you have, don't know where the next one's coming from. Bill collectors ringing your phone off the hook. Imagine how much worse it would be without Christ. As you take a look at your Bibles with me, let's consider people that are getting bad health news. We've had over 500,000 people die in this country in the last year just from this pandemic. But they're not the only one. Somebody had a heart attack. Somebody had a stroke. Somebody found out they had breast cancer. Somebody found out their diabetes is so bad, they're going to have to lose a limb. Imagine how much more difficult those things are when you don't have Christ, the Comforter. I know there's people out there that are dealing with, among those 500,000, you lost a husband, you lost a wife, you lost a grandmother, you lost an aunt, you lost an uncle. You've been with those people, in the case of a spouse, decades. Imagine just for a moment how much more difficult your life, their life, my life is without the comfort of the coverage of the blood of Jesus Christ. When you think about the people that have, you see them on the news every day, young lady missing in Missouri City, young lady missing in Cincinnati, young man's been missing, older person's been missing. When you're the person whose mother that is, whose sister that is, whose daughter that is, imagine just for a moment how difficult that would be were it not for Christ. When you think about the social and cultural impact and crises we're dealing with in this country, you have people that are so desperate in this world, they're dropping their babies over the wall of the border just so they can live. When you think about people whose mental health has deteriorated to the point that they're walking to a workplace and murder 5, 10, 15, 20 people. I know for me, driving down the highway through Connecticut, I passed by the exit for Sandy Hook Elementary. It was a special chill that went through my body thinking about all those babies that lost their life at that elementary school that day. All those mothers and fathers who went to that school hoping and praying it wasn't their baby, but it was. Just imagine for a minute if you had to deal with that travail without Christ. Gun violence in this country has gotten out of control. It's impacted your life whether you want to admit it or not. Police brutality has impacted your life whether you want to believe it or not. We all watched a man on television 9 minutes and 46 seconds, the last 9 minutes and 46 seconds of his life. He had a family. He had people that loved him. Making it through that tragedy without Jesus Christ is something that I could not imagine. I know that when I lost my mother in August, as I sat at her bed and held her hand for the very last time, I could not have endured. I could not have moved on. I could not sit here today and have this conversation with you were it not for Jesus Christ. See, All of the things that I have shared with you just now are things that I've been through personally. I've never lost a limb or anything like that. I've never had cancer, but I certainly have illnesses. I certainly have had family members to pass away that I love dearly. I certainly have had financial crises. I've certainly had relationship issues. Some relationships may be your children. It may be your children that's causing you stress, grief, discomfort today. They won't mind. They're being promiscuous. They're using drugs. They're being disrespectful. They won't go to class and do their schoolwork. Dealing with that without Jesus is much more complicated than I ever want to learn about. You see, there's a song that particularly touches my heart every time I hear it. I heard it sung by Brother Tim James down in Hempel, Texas for the first time. The words go, and I may not have this quite right, somebody prayed for me. They took their time and thought about me. They prayed for me. That's how I made it, because somebody was praying for me. I know that all of us has read James chapter 5 and verse 16, where the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, somebody on this call today may not be a member of the Church of Christ. And I'm hoping that they're not, because this is my opportunity to bring to you the truth in its simplest and plainest form. They say, but Brother Kirby, I pray all the time, and God answers my prayer. Well, great. I'm happy to hear that at least you know who God is. I'm happy to hear that you know where to go, from whence cometh your help. But I would say to you that God lets the sun and the rain shine on the just and the unjust. Just because you received what you prayed for does not mean that God answered your prayer. Why do you say that, Brother Kirby? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is it heavy that he cannot hear you. In other words, he can hear you, but your iniquity has separated you from your God. What are your iniquities? It's your sin. It's unauthorized things, things that you're doing that are not authorized in the Bible. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Kirby? And how do you know? You say the Church of Christ, y'all preach the New Testament. But then why isn't that in the New Testament? Why aren't you telling me about a scripture in the New Testament? Well, it's repeated. John chapter 9, verse 31. And this we know, God heareth not a sinner. So if someone has told you, someone has instructed you that the way to salvation is through a sinner's prayer, we've just shown you scripturally that God does not hear sinners. But the good news is I'm going to share with you how to correct that, how to bridge that gulf between your iniquities and your God, where he won't hear you. I wonder sometime if we really know the history of people that we follow and we take our advice from. We a lot of times will follow the lead politically on with our celebrity and folks that are famous. So I want to share with you people who have decided that there is no God. These are people whose God lets the sun shine on them as well. They may say, God answered my prayers, I became a celebrity. But they don't believe in God. I'm just going to name a few. A cursory look through the internet can get you a list of many, many more. But I want to make sure that I list these, because these are the ones that came to mind right away. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Johnny Depp, Janelle Evans, Bill Maher, Hugh Hefner, Bruce Willis, Zac Efron, Joaquin Phoenix, Jodie Foster, just to name a few. So by the philosophy that anybody can pray, any prayer can be answered, even the prayers of these people could be answered when they have already stated openly and publicly that they believe that God does not exist. But we want to talk about his son today. We want to talk about being without Jesus. First off, we have to answer the question, who is this Jesus that we speak of? Who is Jesus the Christ? As I move through this lesson, and not to belabor the time, if you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll start reading with verse 1. And it reads, that which was from the beginning. In other words, from the very beginning, what we're talking about existed. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. Not only did we hear about it, it was here from the beginning. We heard it was coming, and we've seen it with our own eyes. We've looked at, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Notice in the King James Version, the word is capitalized because it is speaking about Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Let's keep reading. For the light was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, God sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Verse 3 reads, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. In the NIV version of the Bible, it says that our joy may be full. The joy that I speak of is the joy that Brother Brooks mentioned earlier. As the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that has come to Christ. That's the joy that they're speaking about here. They want to join in that joy. The joy that knowing that when you close your eyes, that is not it. Because God said, in my house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. See, we have the belief that there is a street of gold. We have a belief that there are walls of jasper and gates made of pearl. We're going to see that if we're able to follow the commandments that lead you there. But let me continue on because I don't want to belabor the time, and I want to make sure that I complete my message. In verse 5 it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. In other words, Christ told us what to tell you. He did that in Matthew. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. In Mark, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So he's already told them what to go and preach, and now they're delivering it. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. See, to be in light means there's a complete absence of darkness. And to be in darkness means there's a complete absence of light. In this scripture, it tells us if we walk in the light as he is in the light. In other words, if we keep his commandments, then we can walk in the light as he does. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, there's that song that said, it keeps cleansing me over and over and over again. It doesn't mean that because you become a Christian, you become sinless. It means that when you become a Christian, If you're willing to study, commit your life, walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have the opportunity to make heaven your home. I had a guy tell me once, he said, Brother Kirby, the reason I'm out here knocking doors and talking to people about this gospel meeting is because if I get to the pearly gates and the voting is close, I'm hoping this is the action that gets me in. Well, I feel a little differently about that. I just hope I can live a life good enough all of my life that the blood of Jesus is enough to get me in. We're going to keep talking about who this Jesus is. Let's keep reading. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth ain't in us. So in other words, don't you believe that just because you become a member of the Church of Christ, maybe you are a member of the Church of Christ, maybe that you have been a member of the Church of Christ, don't believe that that means that now you're no longer going to sin. That's when Satan is going to get his business. That's where he is, seeking, walking to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. That's when he's at his busiest. When he catches you, when you think you're strong. Because you don't know from whence comes your help. And without Jesus, you, me, and nobody else ain't going to make it. Let's keep reading because it's a part of this that I really want to drive. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, if you've done some things in your life that you know that are not consistent with the word, you need to do something about it. When? The time is now. God hasn't promised you tomorrow. You can't get back yesterday. All you have is R-A-T now. Right now. You got to do something about it immediately. Don't wait. Don't wait. It was some people in El Paso. Undoubtedly just ran into the Walmart to grab a few things for dinner. And a young man out of his mind with hate and rage and nonsense walks in and starts riddling it with bullets. Somebody in there that day said, I'm going to go to church Sunday. Somebody in there that day said, I'm going to get my life right the next chance I get. Soon as I quit drinking, I'm going to get my life right. Soon as I quit smoking, soon as I get off these opioids, I'm going to get my life in Christ. What if one of them suffered a fatal wound? Were they with Christ or were they without him? I'm going to let you answer that as I read on. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So not only are you lying, you're making God a liar because he already knows you're going to sin. People make the mistake of believing, they'll say stuff like, well, I go to church often as I can. Well, you keep doing that. You keep going as often as you can. Don't let somebody say, well, you don't come enough, so you're not really sick. You keep going. You keep going, and you keep going, and you do better by going more, and you go more, and as soon as you start to think that you have it all together, Satan will stroll in. But that's when the blood of Jesus is at his best. Let's continue to read. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. In other words, I'm telling you so you don't do it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin. I love that word, propitiation. It's a big word that just means he makes you good enough. That's all I need to be, is good enough to hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant. This evening, there's somebody on this call. There's somebody within the sound of my voice that needs to hear these words. That somebody's praying for you. You need to hear the word that nothing but the blood of Jesus is going to change where you are. Somebody needs to hear, I love you because you are my brother. But there's also somebody out here that's been told that they are right where they are. Well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This call, my purpose for being here today is to instruct you. Nobody in the Bible, 66 books, not one soul was ever saved that way. Well, what about the thief on the cross? What about him? Was Christ alive or was Christ dead? See, Christ did some things that we can't do. He can save a thief on a cross when he was alive. Now that he's dead, he's given up the methodology for salvation. First you must hear the word. Then you must believe it. Somebody got to tell you the story of how Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Then you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're just like the people that I named earlier. Then you must repent. In other words, do things the way the Bible says do them. Don't be a drunkard. Don't beat your wife. Don't cheat on her. Don't leave your husband for just any reason. There's some ways that God has set our lives in order, and if you'll follow them, you can make heaven your home. So you have to change the way you think about some things. Then you must confess with your mouth. Not that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Not all of your sins, but you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Once that's done, we'll find some water. Brother Brooks said they found water in Columbus, Ohio this morning to baptize a soul. So don't let the water be the issue. Make the confession. Believe. Make the commitment to change your life. But you can never say again in your life that you weren't told. That little fat boy from the north side of Houston told you, April 27, 2021, I told you how to get to heaven. And I told you what life is like without Jesus. And I can also share with you what it's like with him. He's been there at every turn in my life. Every time I thought there was no way out, he showed up and showed out. I thank you all for your attentiveness this evening. I thank you all for this opportunity, and I hope I've blessed someone's life. And I'll turn it back over to Brother Brooks.